It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
Man, I ate until he burst.
You eat Jadis!
Speeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers. The Rance Macabre. Cutting,
cultured,
and curated. Welcome back to another Lunch Hour Review. We have a few things. I have a series, a TV series that I'm going to talk about. You have some films. You've been watching terrible things.
Not exclusively, but yeah.
You've been watching things that you even knew better than to watch.
No, I didn't know what to expect.
Well, we're not even going to go into it, but you have watched the Return of the Living Dead series.
Oh, well, that was on a lark. That was when you talked about number five, Return of the Living Dead,
Rave to the Grave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was giving a look at that, and apparently, like, those characters we've seen before. We've collectively.
Oh, sure, we have.
You know, the old cast of the Return of the Living Dead series, made in Romania with three American actors, and everybody else is
curious
villains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I'm not here to talk about those movies. Good God.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. We need your help.
Needs my help.
I have Mystery Science Theater 3000 came back with a new season on Netflix exclusively. They kickstarted to do, I think they were aiming for like 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so they like fan funded those and then sold the series to Netflix. I was always like a lukewarm fan of Mystery Science Theater.
Okay. I remember when it came out and it was a big deal in my house.
Yeah.
Really big deal. We loved it. And we didn't have cable, so people would record it for us and we would watch it that way.
Yeah, I like it. I usually find the commentary specific to the older shows that like there isn't enough. Like I don't want to watch those movies that they're watching. Like,
well,
I want to watch them
the
watch
idea,
those movies.
Though, is the kind of, you do watch it in those old ones, so you're still seeing the film.
Well, so I always wanted more jokes. I always wanted a little more. Like less downtime, because that downtime is spent with terrible, terrible films.
Sure.
And so I've been following. So I listened to the Nerdist podcast, and Jonah Ray is one of the original three from the Nerdist. And he, going back to the beginning, it's just like way deep with the Mystery Science Theater references. And like he clearly loved it. Like he would rewatch episodes to go to sleep. Like, you know, and so over the years, when they finally announced that he's going to be like kickstarting this again, and they're going to do all new episodes. It was exciting because, like, you know, he loved it. And to be a passion project for him, I was excited for him. And the episodes are great. This new season is outstanding. It is everything I wanted it to be. Like, it's
nice.
It's quicker. The jokes are coming far more densely. It is like technically an all new cast. The robots are the same characters, but it's new voices. Jonah Ray is the host from the original Joel Hodgson position and Michael J. Nelson. But yeah, this season they cover terrible non-classic monster movies like Men in Big Rubber Suit style.
Nice.
Crushing small, like, handmade model cities.
And is the main story the same? He's trapped up there?
Time on the moon, base, the satellite of love. Yes, and so Felicia Day is sort of playing the villain. Patton Oswalt is her second-in-command henchman, son of Frank. Yeah, so that part, I wasn't wild about
those little stories. I loved that it had something that tied it all together.
Yeah, I wasn't that wild about those parts. I always wanted to just get to the movie. But in this case, a lot of the cutaway sketches are really well written and fun. And yeah, it was really cool. In the style of movies, I mentioned the monster movies. They've got a Journey to the Center of the Earth movie with Peter Cushing.
Oh, nice.
That I had never, like, it's it's bad and it's silly and it makes me feel a little bad for Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Because like he's, you know, in his sundown days.
Oh, that's what I wondered. Like how old was Peter Cushing?
Yeah, pretty old.
Oh.
Like maybe like it, around the same era of Star Wars, which throws me off because the movie that he's in seems even older than that would have been. It's weird. It's weird. It's not a good movie. It's fun to watch with them. There's a hilarious movie with the boy and his friend Sasquatch.
Oh, I like that. You love Sasquatch.
I do love Sasquatch. And this story has a very strong environmental message.
Oh, nice. It's like you. It's like if you befriended Sasquatch and then the Lorax.
Yeah.
What? The kid is still alive. What? Paul, of course, you made it out alive, just as I expected.
Dr. Zaius, you're nude.
Bigfoot.
Oh, that scalp. You might want to get that looked at, Bigfoot.
Ho, 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 Merry Bigfoot.
He's just wearing a really crappy snowmobile suit.
Bigfoot, I'm so glad I found you.
Everyone else I know are jerks and human.
Yeah, so I loved it. I really... You know, I wasn't the biggest fan back in the day, so the bar was pretty low for me, and they far exceeded my expectations. I really dug this
nice.
Mystery Science Theater season, now on Netflix streaming.
I have to check it out. So I have a surprise for you. It's not really that exciting
good.
For you, but it's exciting for me because I feel like I can finally be free. I am finally done with Vampire Diaries.
Oh, thank God.
I have now watched all 8 seasons. It is done. I probably won't watch it again.
8 seasons.
Yeah.
Was it like 22, 24 episodes a season?
Yeah. These guys are like work animals.
That is so many hours of your life. And knowing full well that like you will revisit these at times, you will come back. I mean, in the way that like you watch Buffy,
in
the morning.
It's very different than Buffy. Like, I love Buffy.
That it's good. This is bad. Vampire Diaries
it's
is
not
bad.
That it's bad. It's just not the same, like, I don't know. There's something about Buffy that I don't mind coming back to. This I probably won't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for you.
I probably won't, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. I started watching Cheers in the morning, so that's what I'm doing now.
Nice.
There's
Did you start at the beginning
seasons.
Of that as well?
Yeah, so I figure, like, I have a really long time. But they're short. They're really short.
Yeah, they're...
It was disappointing.
Well, like 22 minutes. How long could Vampire Diaries be?
It's an hour-long show.
It is?
Yeah. I mean, what with commercials is like 45 minutes, but yeah, it's a long show.
Those 24 episodes are hour-long. Good God. Oh, my God.
CW works these kids like maniacs.
Holy hell.
Yeah. No, that was a... I really put the time in. I'm just going to say that.
Do you feel older?
You know what? I feel happy that I'm done with it. It was really sad.
Wait, is the series over?
Yeah, the because whole series is over.
Okay, but they've also got that spinoff one about the originals.
Right, which I was thinking about starting, but then Cheers was right in front of my face.
Oh, good
and I
for
said
you.
Cheers.
Yeah.
But I probably will watch originals, but I got 11 seasons of Cheers to get through, so it's going to take a while.
Cheers. I loved and watched. There was a long stretch of time in my childhood. Well, like, you know, whatever, teens. Where Seinfeld would show at 11 and then Cheers at 11:30. Uh-huh. And I watched that religiously and then they replaced it with Friends. And
I watched Cheers when it was on TV as a kid.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I don't even remember half of in the beginning.
How
forget
exciting
about it.
For you.
Like pre Kirstie Alley. I don't exactly even remember. So yeah, it's like a brand new adventure.
Oh.
And I'm very excited about it.
I always sing along to the theme song. It might annoy Rachel because I also kind of do the like. There's a band that I really like, Big Wig, who did a punk cover of the Cheers
nice.
Theme song, and like it's the greatest sing along song ever. So the movie I'm bringing with me to talk about is 2016's We Are the Flesh. The Spanish title is Tenemos la Carne, which...
That is not We Are the Flesh.
No, it isn't. We Are the Flesh is a nice like turn of phrase, but Tenemos la Carne is closer in a literal translation would be We Have the Meat or We Are the Meat.
Yeah.
In any case, none of it's going to make sense. It doesn't have to. That's not really the point. Written and directed by Emiliano Roca Minter. That's funny that I pronounce his middle name Spanish and his last name like he's Anglo.
Mentor.
That's fun. Okay, so a brief synopsis, not my own. After wandering a ruined city for years in search of food and shelter, this does not happen on camera. It's referred to in conversations.
Okay.
Two siblings find their way into one of the last remaining buildings. Inside, they find a man who will make them a dangerous offer to survive the outside world.
So they never ran into this man before, and they've been in this place for years?
Well, not the one building, but they've been roaming for years.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
We actually open on that crazy guy, and really, it is about that crazy guy who seems to be thriving in this bizarre post-apocalyptic world.
Okay.
Ni por el placer de verte sufrir. Te vamos a matar por tu sangre, por tu carne. Por una serie de exquisitas sustancias que lo recorren. Te agarramos a ti por azar. Y recuerda que el azar es el criminal más grande que ha pisado la tierra.
They're speaking Spanish. It is a Spanish language film. It is made in Mexico. Okay, let me give you some more details. Okay, so the fucking crazy guy, he lives off of occasional meat. And the distilled alcohol he makes himself from scavenged scraps. When the two teenagers find him, he does take them in on the condition that they help him build this, like, interior contraption. It starts with all, like, wood scaffolding that they are taping together. And not even with good duct tape. The, like, brown plastic packing plastic tape.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's not really load-bearing, but that wasn't the point. Apparently, this structure... All the meanwhile, these characters speak in sort of like broken poetry and haikus, and none of it really makes sense.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's not. This is not a plot-driven film. Once they do have the like really bizarre scaffolding, they do start like wrapping it up with cardboard and giving it like it looks like a papier-mâché interior cave, and that lends to like a pretty cool effect, especially when like the lighting effects begin. None of it's explained. It's just kind of like. The natural light. It's a lot of like deep reds and blues. And so movie's very pretty to look at.
Okay.
And that's every nice thing I have to say about this movie.
Oh, no.
The rest of it gets pretty fucking weird. It devolves into pornography at one point. like the next level up from Close 7E and Brown Bunny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like actual pornography, which might weird out the viewer if you're not used to seeing that much nudity.
Didn't expect that.
This film was only the third non-porn film in Mexico to get the highest rating. So
does that mean that lowest rating, you mean?
No, I mean like that of porn. Like
yeah, but you're saying like that's a high rating, but I would say that's like the low rating.
Right, right, but the like low in terms of like X.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what does this say? Only Hostel and Love of Gaspar Noé got the D. Oh, they go with D rating that is usually given to porn films.
I see.
It's
for D's nuts.
On display. Long shots. Not a lot of quick cuts in this film. Okay. So it's only amusing to think of like the ratings board having to sit through this and like.
That is
what
pretty
was their
awesome.
Line? What at what point were they were just like, come on, like you really expected to put this in theaters? So not so much. That's it. It was disturbing. It was, I think, purposefully so. There were a number of moments where it was just kind of like, I'm icked out, not in the fun horror way,
yeah,
but just in kind of like, I guess I'll finish this movie because otherwise
that's awful.
I feel like
that's a terrible feeling.
It's part of my notes. 30 minutes in is where I found the point where I was like, this could be the most profoundly fucked up thing I've ever watched.
In a good way. Bad way. In a bad way.
Yeah, in that bad way. In that not fun way. Yeah. So in the last 50 minutes, we get more hardcore sex and what feels like a hyper-realistic ISIS beheading video.
Really?
Yeah. Just shy of that. Just
yeah,
shy
really.
Of that.
I don't think I'm into that. I'd love to be like icked out. I think Calvera is one of the most uncomfortable things that you can watch.
I agree.
Is it like that?
And I appreciated the artistry in that, where it was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where they were aiming to arrive. This, I've got, like, if I was trying to market this to the people who would actually like it, I've got two descriptions. If you ever thought David Lynch's narratives made too much sense, this movie could be for you.
Oh, okay.
And if you feel Lars von Trier is too cuddly and accessible, This movie is for you.
Interesting. Wow.
There are recurring themes of birth and rebirth, but I don't know how much of it is effective as a metaphor. I have a hard time finding the point of this movie. And that's, you know, yeah, that's square peg, Darren.
Sure.
That's people might disagree, but I'm just tempering you. Know what to expect.
It's, yeah.
This one's on Shudder. It's a Shudder exclusive. They do kind of... They look for the niche, like, corner of the market movies like this. And this was,
every,
like,
now and then you do find
hit.
A good one.
Oh, sure. I love Shudder overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. In Spanish language stuff, I began watching, but I'm not through, so I couldn't properly review it. But The Similars is one. Mm-hmm. It's a Spanish language Mexican film that's also on Netflix streaming. That I dig. So far, I like.
Really?
It plays, yeah, it's
that
way
short
different.
Short film, I can't get over.
It's way different than the writer-director short film on Mexico Barbaro.
Yeah, no, hated it.
In this case, it's far more of like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of digging that so far, but I'll come with a deeper review down the line. But you've got a series. I'm curious how fast and how hard did you go through this?
Okay, we started this. I'm not done yet. We started it maybe a week ago, maybe. And I'm in the second season now.
Time blurs. Well, okay.
Yeah, we're cooking through this. I am watching HBO's The Leftovers. And I didn't even plan on watching it. It was just one of those things. We were looking for a movie to watch, and we were like, oh, let's try it. I love a good rapture story.
Sure, yeah.
You know, this is based on the novel by Tom Perata, who also did Election and Little Children.
Is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
so,
cool.
And it's a pretty new novel. 2011 is when it came out. So
okay.
Then he worked on this with the other creator of the series, who was Damon Lindelof, and the two of them created the series, helped on the screenplay. This show is freaking awesome.
Is it really?
It's really weird.
I've managed to avoid most descriptions. Like,
yeah,
aside from these short trailers I've watched, I don't know anything
about it. Even when I was looking up things to talk about today, I didn't want to, because I don't want any spoilers, because I hadn't even heard of it. Honestly, I didn't even know it existed.
It's, I don't know, they do focus, with the advertising material, they certainly do focus on, is it Justin something?
Justin Theroux, yeah.
Justin Theroux's abs.
Yes, you see that
presented
quite a bit.
Justin
you see
Theroux's
his butt,
abs.
Too, occasionally. But, I mean, it's equal opportunity. It's not, like, gratuitous for no reason. It's because it actually has reasons for him to be nude or them to be nude.
Yeah, like Jailbreak, he's got something important written on his... He's got thug life across his stomach. It's important to the plot.
No. Sublime. No, Justin Theroux, though, he is the main character, and he plays this cop in this world. It's just the world we live in, planet Earth. But one day, 3 years before the series starts, 2% of the population just disappears.
2%?
2% of the people.
Okay.
So not like a huge crazy number, but enough that people...
You'll notice, yeah.
Yeah, you notice, right?
It's time again for the world to mourn the departed.
Disappearance of 2% of the world's population.
None of them are coming back.
Yeah, probably not.
So many of our loved ones were lost 3 years ago. We still wonder where they went and why.
It is so bizarre. They have scientists trying to figure it out. No one knows why. And so some people call them heroes, and they try and, like, make a national holiday out of this day that they all disappeared.
Presuming that, yes, they were taken by the rapture because they
were
the best of us.
Right, because there is no explanation. But there's a great character who is a priest in this, and that's played by Christopher Eccleston.
Oh.
And he is so good. And what he does is he has his church, but he spends his time digging up dirt on the people who departed, the people who left. And, like, publishes it in a flyer that he hands out, like, oh, this person was having an affair, this person was a drunk driver.
Is it because he's like a resentful priest who
everyone to have a view, an honest view of what,
okay, it's
what's
not
happening.
Because he kind of resents that he was not taken in the rapture?
No. Okay. No, he just is sick of people pretending like these
they
people
were
heroes. Are
heroes. Right, right.
And they're absolutely not. Some of them are some of the worst people that there were. Huh. But some of them are innocent, too. So it's not like you could say all of the people are bad. Some of them are like little kids.
Okay.
You know,
and I guess
like
part of it is also him sort of trying to figure out what the common denominator was amongst the people who were taken.
I don't know why he starts doing it, and you don't really know his motivation on that, and you don't really care. His sister, who becomes a main character, she is not religious. Her family had her and her husband and two kids. All three of them disappeared, and she was the only one left. Oh. So in one family, to have three people disappear is, like, insane. So she's living with that. Christopher Eccleston, his wife, they're in a car on the day that this happens. And since people were just vanishing, sometimes if they were driving and vanished, the car still was going. And so his wife is involved in a terrible wreck, and she's like a vegetable from that. So it's not like she was taken, but she's not the same from that either.
Right. Wow.
And the main character, though, is Justin Theroux, and it's his family. And you have his daughter who still lives with him, and his son who is off with another cult. So cults are a huge thing on this show. And everyone just accepts that as a thing. It's
like
totally
a
normal.
Reasonable reaction to the rapture.
Yeah, lots of people. So Justin Theroux's wife belongs to a cult.
Oh.
So she left them to become part of this weird cult where they just smoke all the time. Because the idea is like, don't forget about these people or don't forget what happened. And so they're a constant reminder by, like, I think because they smell like smoke and they just, you can't
remind
forget
you of
them.
Death.
Exactly. And that's their whole thing. And all they do is spend all the time like poking people in the eye, essentially, to be like, don't forget. Don't forget.
But not literally like blowing smoke in their face.
Oh, no, they'll blow smoke in your face, too. So if they think you're going to be maybe you're a candidate for this cult, they'll stand outside your house for like 24 hours and follow you everywhere and just smoke cigarettes outside your house.
Huh.
It's a bizarre thing. And that's
how. I like that visual.
It's bizarre.
Because
it's so weird.
Smoking does kind of occupy that space of like, you look busy, you look cool. But like doing it just like as a stakeout outside of someone's house is a pretty,
it's menacing.
Pretty creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all they do because they don't care. They have no emotion is the idea. But let's be serious. They're human beings. So everyone has like some ulterior kind of motives.
Sure.
Then we find Liv Tyler. She joins the party.
I didn't know she was in this.
I didn't either because I didn't know anything about it till I started watching it. She's actually really good in it. And she's a member of the cult that the wife is in. She becomes a member. So she's like a young member.
Oh,
newbie.
But she smokes. Oh, Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler.
Oh, it's going to be hard to remain looking young with all that chain smoking.
You know what? She doesn't look good in this. They make her look like she's so beautiful normally, you know? And in this, like I said a couple times to Jackson, I was like, she probably has like the best morning because she just shows up to set just like she got out of bed. They don't put any makeup on her and she wanders in front of the camera.
Oh, it's not that they make her look worse like Eileen Wuornos and Monster.
No, they just want her to be tired. They make her look like tired all the time.
Well, so chain smoking will take a lot out of you.
Yeah, and so
dark
she's just like tired with no makeup. She doesn't have to do her hair. She's just Liv Tyler just being like, yeah, I woke up like this.
It's like Justin, not Trudeau. He's a prime minister. What's this? Theroux.
Very
Justin,
close.
Justin Theroux is doing ab work like all the in-between takes.
And Liv Tyler's I don't even have to go to makeup today.
Rubbing dirt on my face.
Yeah, anyone who's in that cult, like their call has to be like 5 minutes before they're ready to walk on. Yeah, Justin Theroux's like got to get like all these tattoos put on him and
down to like 4% body fat.
Yeah,
she's
so
like,
sad.
Oh, I'm getting there, but it's on account of chain smoking.
It's like, what's your call? My call is 2 a.m. Oh, mine's like 7. Yeah, so she's in it and she's really good. The idea of these cults are really cool because it's almost like it's like just everyone exists alongside them.
It's throughout the world, this 2%?
Yes. Yes, okay. Throughout the entire world. And so that's why I say cults plural, because this town has this particular cult, the Guilty Remnant. But then there's others that we find
that's
out about.
That's a great name. That's the cult name?
The Guilty Remnant.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I want to read the book. Like, I have to go get the book, because the book only encompasses the first season. And then seasons 2 and 3 are completely original. And so I started on season 2 now, because I don't want to give anything away. I'll tell you, it's no one's good. Everyone's not good. Everyone's got, like, ulterior motives, or, like, they're just not good people. No one's a good person.
Okay. That can be a little exhausting.
It's hard in the way of, like, The Wire. You know, it's a little hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least, I guess, in that case, like, even the cops, like, their heart's in the right place. Some of them, at least. But,
not really. Yeah, in The Wire, everyone's terrible.
Bunk isn't terrible.
Yes, he is. He's cheating on his wife.
Bunk is married?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was hammered.
Yeah.
I forgot Bunk. Okay. So everybody's bad.
Yeah. No, everyone's bad. So in this, though, yeah, everyone is got huge, huge flaws. And it's about just how they deal with this unexplainable phenomenon. And it shakes them to their core, like, essentially, like, psychologically. Like, why not me? Or did those people suffer? Or the myriad of things that can happen.
Yeah, the potential for storylines is fascinating. Even just thinking that, like, traditionally biblical plagues happen, you know, sort of indiscriminately, whether it's a flood,
right?
Like, that's a concrete thing you could sort of attribute people being lost to. But in this theory that God just selects a handful of people to, like, all right, well, I'm just gonna call the population by this much and sort of pick and... Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard thing to get your head around.
And it's cool because it's really not presented as biblical. Mm. It's just a fact of life. And that's very cool. In the second season that I just started...
Are there clothes left behind? Like, how much is left behind?
No, so that's a little shady, right?
They take off with everything they had on them?
Everything's just gone.
So at least they're not naked in heaven.
Right. It just... Like, that kind of doesn't make sense because... So there's no clothes left behind. And sometimes in one of the scenes, like, one of the people is actually holding hands and then suddenly not holding hands. So then it's like, if they were touching the clothes and the clothes went with them, if they're touching someone's hand, why didn't that person go with them? I have lots of things. There's certain things that are never answered. And like I said, it's weird in kind of in a David Lynch, this is very weird kind of thing.
Okay.
So if any of the dogs were with the people and saw the people disappear, the dogs became feral and now, like, run in packs throughout the town.
Wow.
Yeah, and so have to deal with the dogs, too. All these feral dogs. And then there's certain animals that seem to be, like, indicating helping people, sort of, or being, like, indicators that something, like, harbingers of good things to happen or bad things, too.
Okay.
And in the second season, there's a town in Texas that no one disappeared from, and they all were saved. Like, every single person, no one disappeared.
Huh.
And so they're like a miracle town.
Yeah. That's interesting to think of. Like, I imagine some amount of work has been done to, like, just examine the statistical likelihoods of these things, because 2% of the population, like, yeah, there's bound to be one area where no one was taken and some areas where several people were taken.
Right.
And yeah, trying to find a justification for that's fascinating.
It's
I love this, really cool
to think about.
I'm excited to get into this as a sort of counter to the Left Behind series.
Yes,
I do kind of enjoy something with far more mystery. Yeah, that's exciting.
I like it because it's not a religious take on it. It's just if this happened, what would people do?
Yeah,
and it's friggin' cool because you do spend a lot of your time after, like, when you're done watching the show, like, being like, how would I feel about this? And, like, you understand where the cult people come from, even though they're really horrible. Like, at one point in time, they break into people's houses who lost people, and they take all their pictures of those people.
Oh,
and they steal all their photos of the people who
pretend those people never existed.
Yeah.
That's a weird impulse.
Well, and then they're working towards, there's this one big sinister thing that they do.
Yay.
With that information. But, like, it's, like, really, they do it on Christmas Eve. Like, they break into their house and take all their photos. And that's so wrong.
They left the cookies. They took the photos.
Yeah. It's so wrong. It's so weird.
Huh. That's exciting. I will definitely check it out. Do they cut to, like, Words from the Vatican. Is the young pope taken? I've been watching some of that. It's
no, the
weird.
Young pope. No. One of the popes was taken. Benedict. I think he's taken.
Huh.
And then, there's like this running storyline, and I don't care that I ruin it, because it's just like this weird like thing that comes up maybe like three times in the whole season. Perfect Strangers. The one of them is departed.
Okay.
From Perfect Strangers, and so they're like J-Lo was taken, and like Brad Pitt was taken, and all these people. And out of Perfect Strangers, the one is like he misses his friend who was departed, and then later you find out the friend's like hiding in Mexico from Perfect, and it's really the guy from Perfect Strangers.
That's hilarious. I can't remember. It was Belky.
I don't remember the other one. It's the other one.
Okay.
It's so funny.
Man.
It's the most bizarre. Like, why is this a running thing? But it's so funny.
That's really funny. Yeah.
There's like a lot going on with it.
I will definitely check out The Leftovers. So that'll wrap up this Lunch Hour Reviews episode. I'm excited to check out The Leftovers. I am.
Yeah, it's really, I'm telling you, it's weird, but it's good, and the payoff is good.
I hope so. It's the old crew from Lost has let me down in the past, so
yes.
I'll be the optimist and give them this try, especially knowing that it's coming from a book and there's actually
right.
strong source material. But so, listeners, you can find even more Rants Macabre on Patreon.com. For $1 a month, you get access to an entire library you've never seen otherwise. Episodes on the original Night of the Living Dead in the sort of historical context. We just recently did an episode on cannibalism.
Yeah.
The science and the cultural fallout. And also the movies Ravenous and Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Jonathan Demme.
Aww. Yeah.
But also there, we've got the song that we played at the end of a previous episode. That's there for them. Killer Cars. We've
Killer
got a whole
cars.
Episode where
we recorded
on a road trip. Yeah. Getting creative on this end. But so we also wanted to talk about upcoming shows for all you listeners. We've got an episode on spiritualism and seances.
Yeah,
covering,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, the history of the Fox sisters. Houdini is the sort of hoax
yeah.
revealer in the movies Don't Look Now and The Changeling.
I'm really excited about anthology horror.
Yeah, there's some great ones
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, I'm also super excited. We're going to talk finally about Trilogy of Terror because Karen Black is my spirit animal. And we're going to do Stories Twice Told and Creepshow.
Yeah, Stories Twice Told is a favorite of mine.
I know.
That was a good throwback.
Good stuff coming up.
We've got one coming up on Jack the Ripper, the sordid history and the theories on mm-hmm. who he might be, and also the movie adaptations of the stories and some more fanciful time-traveling versions of that.
Far out on the horizon there we have Japanese horror.
Finally, yeah.
And Hitchcock.
That's going to be a lot of work.
That's so much work.
Hitchcock Volume 1, no less. Yeah,
I noticed that you put that. I just said the word Hitchcock instead of Volume 1 because I didn't want to go into that. You know, I finally, thought about it. We never did American Horror Story 1. We never did Murder House.
That's right. We've got to finish up that American Horror Story.
We started that and we were so good at doing it like every other
yeah.
week, and now no.
You know what? I was so soured by the last season that I put it out of my mind.
It's true. Roanoke did kind of like crap the bed and make
yeah.
me feel mad.
But yeah, that first season, it was a strong start. It'll be nice to go back and,
yeah.
and revisit some of that. Yeah, and you've got all this time now that you're not watching Vampire Diaries anymore,
except for Leftovers. But and I mean, I'm on the Cheers
they're
train.
They're HBO like short seasons.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they're not 24
That's
episodes.
True. That's true. That Cheers is going to take me quite a while.
All right, so you know where to find us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. We are at Rants Macabre. The website is therantsmacabre.com, as well as our email is therantsmacabre@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what kind of stuff you're excited about, movies coming up, or movies that you want us to cover. We're always looking for new ideas,
yeah.
and we're always putting together show themes, so let us know what some of your favorites are. That'll do it for me. This is Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks. Yeah.